All right, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Mem Beis. We left off Mem Aleph on the Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. We got to the second wide line. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. Today we're going to cover a couple of topics. First, we're going to talk about the practice of the Anshei Yerushalayim. He used to walk around holding their lulav all day. We should just mention, yesterday we saw in the Gemara the report that Abba used to hold the lulav while he davened. And we said, how could he hold the lulav while he davened? And we saw that you're not allowed to hold other things while you're davening. Either you're not allowed to hold a tefillin or a sefer Torah or even mundane items like a knife or a spoon or a plate because we're afraid that we're going to drop it and you're not going to be able to have kavanah on tefillah. And what we answered was no, because the holding of the lulav itself is a mitzvah, therefore it's not going to interfere with the kavanah that you're supposed to have during davening. And this is the makar for the psak of the Trumas Hadeshen, who says that it's mutter to hold a siddur or a machzer also when you're davening in order so that you could be able to read the words. You might think that you're not allowed to hold it because it detracts from your kavanah, kamash malan, because of what the Gemara told us yesterday about the enhancement that lulav brings to davening, so too with a siddur or a machzer, in order to know what you're saying, you're able to hold it during davening. But we're going to begin with the practice of the Anshei Yerushalayim, then we're going to talk about the fellow who forgets that he was supposed to bring his lulav to shul before Shabbos and instead brings his lulav to shul on Shabbos. So we had said that he's pater because he does it with rishus. And the Gemara is going to say, what do you mean with rishus? I thought we said that you have to bring the lulav to shul before Shabbos. So we're gonna talk a little bit about when somebody makes mistakes in the context of doing a mitzvah, whether the person is going to be chayav or whether the person is going to be pater. We're then going to have a mishnah in the middle of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, which is going to talk about whether a woman is allowed to handle a lulav which is given to her by your husband on Shabbos, because the woman doesn't have a chayav, so maybe the lulav is muksa to her. The Gemara then is going to talk all about the mitzvah of chinuch, of when one is chayav to be mechanech his children in the mitzvah of lulav, from what age, and what does the child have to be up to, and other halachos of chinuch, legabe other mitzvahs, and that's going to conclude the third parak of the Masechta. Then the fourth parak is going to begin on Mem Beis and Mem Beis, and we're going to talk about how many days over the course of Yontif, one is Mekayim, the mitzvah of lulav, arava, halel, simcha, sukkah, whole bunch of different topics, talking about for how many days one is Mekayim the mitzvah, the variable obviously being Shabbos. When Shabbos falls out, whether the mitzvah is Docha Shabbos, whether the mitzvah is not Docha Shabbos, the duration of the mitzvah. So, exciting topics at the beginning of the next parak. So again, we left off, it's the second wide line on Mem Aleph Amud Beis, right in the middle of the line. First word on the line is Behu. We left off in the middle of the line, Tanya. So Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Bar Tzadok Omer, so we saw yesterday that some of the Amoraim used to hold the lulav while davening. So the report of Rabbi Elazar Barav Tzadok is the Anshei Yerushalayim even did much more. So Adam Yotze Mibesov Lulava Biyado. A person would leave his house, he would hold his lulav. Holech Lebesa Knesses Lulava Biyado. He would go to shul, he would be holding his lulav. Kore Kriyashma Mispalel. So this is sort of what we saw yesterday. When a person reads Kriyashma when he davened Shemon Esrei Lulava Biyado. Kori b'Torah v'nose es kapov. However, when he reads from the Torah and when he duchens, if he's a Kohen, then you're obviously not able to hold a lulav while you're duchening because your hands are occupied if you're a Kohen and you're duchening. So what do you do? So manichol gabe karka. So you have to leave it on the ground near the bima or near the platform where the Kohanim are duchening, and then you pick it up when you're done. Holich levaker cholim lenachem avelim, when they would go to perform the mitzvahs of biker cholim or nicham avelim, lulava biyado. So they were, their lulav would be held in their hand. They'd be holding their lulav in their hand. The Mefarshim point out that nicham avelim here is lav davka, the actual mitzvah of nicham avelim, because we know that yontif suspends, or yontif rather cuts off the yemei shiva. So there is no shiva on Yontif or on Chol HaMoed, so you wouldn't actually be performing the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim. But what it means is somebody who had a death in the family, unfortunately, recently, and you're going to lend consolation, even if it's not the technical performance of the mitzvah of Nicham Avelim. But regardless, for our purpose, Nicham Avelim, Bikur Cholim, they would be holding the lulav. Nichlas Beis HaMedrash, however, when they would go learn, in order to learn, you have to focus. In order to focus, you can't be holding anything. So Meshagr Lulav, Biyabino, Biyanavdo, Biyachluchos, you would give your lulav off to either your son or your Eved or your Shliach, and they would bring it back home. So says the Gemara, my Kamash Malan, what's the big deal about this report about the Anshe Yerushalayim? So Lodiach HaKama Yizrizim HaMitzvahs, to show how zariz they were in performing these mitzvos. According to Tosfos, he holds that the Anshe Yerushalayim actually performed a mitzvah. They actually performed a kiyam mitzvah when they actually held the lulav all day long. So when the Gemara says that they were zrizim b'mitzvahs, it doesn't only mean that they were zariz, it means that they were able to enhance their level of performance because they were kayim b'mitzvah the entire day. The question is, if you're kayim b'mitzvah the entire day, if you're holding the lulav, why was it only the Anshe Yerushalayim who used to do this? How come it wasn't Anshe everybody, Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, any God-fearing Jew who wants to perform a mitzvah all day should be holding his lulav all day on Yom Tov of Sukkot and on Chol HaMoed? So the Rav of Soloveitchik explained that because that the Anshe Yerushalayim, again, when we say Yerushalayim, he says that we're talking about the Eir Atika. We saw already yesterday the Shita of the Rambam, and a couple of days ago the Rabbi mentioned the Shita of the Rambam is that the whole Eir Atika, the whole old city of Jerusalem, has the status of Mikdash Lagabe, the Alachas of Lulav. What's the big deal if it has the status of Mikdash? Because then the mitzvah of Lulav applies all 7 days of Yontif, not only on the first day of Yontif. So the reason that we single out the Anshe Yerushalayim is because they had a mitzvah doraisa to perform lulav all 7 days. Now technically they could have performed the mitzvah only by picking up the lulav, because as we know the Gemara tells us, midaagbe nafakbe, from the second that you pick up the lulav, you are yotze the mitzvah. However, there's a separate din of usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. There's a separate din of simcha, kiyam mitzvah of simcha, for all 7 days of Yontif. And the Anshe Yerushalayim held that it was a kiyum of simcha to hold the lulav all day. So why do we focus on the Anshe Yerushalayim? Says the Rav, because those were the only people who were able to enhance their performance of the mitzvah of lulav for all 7 days of Yontif on a d'oraisa level. So we see that was their practice, because there was reason b'mitzvahs. Great, says the Gemara Vayter, two dots, last line, Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Rabbi Yossi Amar Yontif, that if you have a yontif shechalios peshabbos, so we had said in the Mishnah that the practice that you're supposed to follow is you're supposed to bring your lulav to shul before Shabbos so that you don't have to carry it on Shabbos. What happens if the guy spaced out and forgotten? He walks out of his house on Shabbos morning, which is also yontif, and he's carrying his lulav. So the Mishnah told us that he's potter because he's motziyit mi rishus, because he takes it with rishus. So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, flipping over to Membeis Amud Aleph, lo shanu ela shelo yatzabo. The only time we say that the guy is potter is when he hasn't already performed the chiyuv of lulav. Aval yatzabo, but if he already performed the chiyuv mitzvah of lulav, then chayiv, then he's going to be chayiv. Why? Rashi says, because so long as he hasn't performed the mitzvah of lulav, he's tarid b'mitzvah, and therefore he's trying to perform the mitzvah, so he's going to be fine. If he already performed the mitzvah of lulav at home, and then stam he's going out for a walk with his wife holding a lulav, then he already performed the mitzvah, so now you can't call him tarid b'mitzvah because he already did the mitzvah. So the only time the halacha that we mentioned in the Mishnah is going to be applicable is where he hasn't yet performed the mitzvah of lulav. Says the Gemara, how could it be that the guy is walking around holding a lulav, not having performed the mitzvah already? Hamid agbe nafakbe. From the second he picks it up, he's yotza the mitzvah. That's the basic mitzvah of lulav. So if the guy's yotza the mitzvah the second he picks it up, then he's obviously picking it up in his house. Then he walks out into the rishus harabim. So how can you tell me that he's potter because he's torah b'mitzvah, but the only time he's potter is if he hasn't yet performed the mitzvah? By definition, the guy's performed the mitzvah by the time he walks out of his house. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye kishahavcho. No, there are ways to pick up a lulav to ensure that you're not going to perform the mitzvah. And we saw this already. Tosfos had this already a couple of days ago when we learned the sugya of making a bracha over lasayasan. So you don't pick up the lulav and esrog derech gidilasan, which is the only way you could be yotze in the mitzvah. You pick it up either inverting the lulav or the esrog to make sure that you're not yotze. So if you invert it, you haven't been yotze midagbe nafakbe. So when you walk out of your house, you haven't yet performed the mitzvah, and therefore you are going to be putter if it's Shabbos in that circumstance. The Gemara Lechora also could have said if Abaye would have held that mitzvah srichos kavana, so you could have said, oh, the reason that you weren't yield to the mitzvah is because you didn't have kavana to perform the mitzvah. And from here, it's a raya that Abaye holds mitzvahs ein srichos kavanas, that simply when you pick it up, even if you don't have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah, you're going to be yotze. Tosfos says that even if you say mitzvahs ein srichos kavana, it's possible that you would have kavana to not be yotze, and you're certainly not going to be mekayim the mitzvah if you have active kavana to not be yotze the mitzvah. So in other words, whether you hold mitzvahs srichos kavana or mitzvahs ein srichos kavana, says Tosfos, there's a way out of here. How could the guy pick up the lulav even if he picks it up properly and not be yotze the mitzvah? Either he doesn't have kavana to be yotze, but even if you say that you don't need kavana to be yotze, he could have active kavana not to be yotze, in which case he's not going to be yotze the mitzvah. The Rosh explains, well, who is the guy who is taking his lulav in the street on Shabbos? He's the guy who doesn't know the halacha that you're supposed to bring it to shul before Shabbos. So you're saying this guy's a bucky in the kavanas that he's supposed to have in order to make sure that he doesn't perform the mitzvah. So that's why we don't answer the question by saying, oh, he was having in mind certain kavanas to make sure that he's not going to be yotze. So back in our Gemara, the bottom line is the Gemara had made a proposition. The Mishnah had said that if you take the lulav out of your house on Shabbos, then you're going to be patur because you did it with Rishus. The Gemara said that's only if you haven't yet performed the mitzvah. If you perform the mitzvah already, you're in trouble. How do you pick it up without performing the mitzvah? You fulfill the mitzvah as soon as you pick it up because you invert the esrog. So you're not going to perform the mitzvah. Midin, midag bei nafak bei, because it's not derek yilaso. So Rava says, afilu teimash lo hafcho. Even if you didn't invert the esrog, there's still a way to pick it up without being yotze the mitzvah. Because you were not holding it in your hand, rather, let's say you were carrying it on a plate. But isn't Rava the one who says that lakicha al yedei davar acher is considered to be a lakicha? So why do you say that if you hold it on a plate, then you're going to be putter because you haven't yet performed the mitzvah? Rav is the one who says that if you're holding it with something else, then it is performance of a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, hani mili derech kavod, aval derech bizoyin lo. No, that's only if you're holding it derech kavod. In other words, if you wrap it in a silk handkerchief to make like a nice holster for the lulav, that's going to be fine. That's lakicha al yedei davar acher, which is shma lakicha. If you're holding the lulav and esrog on a big platter, then that's not derech kava. That's like a weird thing to do. So you're definitely not going to be yotze the mitzvah. The Ritva says, okay, so you're not going to be chaya for holding the lulav in Rishos HaRabim because you haven't yet performed the mitzvah. Why aren't you chaya for carrying the kli in the Rishos HaRabim? So the Ritva says, well, because the kli is bottled to the lulav, because the ikker thing that you're carrying, you're only carrying the kli because the kli is holding the lulav. So if the kli is bottled to the lulav you're not going to be chaya for carrying because you're carrying it out with Rishus, because you haven't yet been yotze the mitzvah. The kli is going to be bottled. Therefore, it turns out that you're not going to be chaya for carrying anything on Shabbos in this circumstance. Says the Gemara Navaiter, Amar Rav Huna, Omer Hoya Rav Yosi, Ola Sa'of, Shenimtzeis Bein Agafayim. If you have an ola sa'of, a bird ola, which is found between the slaughtered chatas bird offerings. So, v'ksavar chatas sa'ofi, so you thought that it was a chatas. So, what's the difference between an ola and a chatas? As we know, an ola is totally consumed on the mizbeach. The chatas is eaten by kohanim. So, you find an ola sa'of, it's between a whole bunch of chatas birds, so you assume it's a chatas. So, whoops, va'achla, and now you ate it. So you're not supposed to eat the ola, obviously, but you did. Says the Gemara, putter, you are going to be putter. Why? Because you thought you were doing a mitzvah. You thought you were coining and you're fulfilling the mitzvah of eating the chatas birds, and you ate an ola by accident. So by accident, we're going to give you a pass. The Kapas Tamarim asks, how is it possible that you could even confuse the ola for the chatas? Because the malika of the korban ola is through the entire neck, whereas the malika of the korban chatas, you don't sever the head from the body of the bird. So how's it possible to even confuse the ola with the chatas at all? The type of malika is totally different. The ola wouldn't have a head. The chatas does have a head. So the answer is because after they would do the matan damim of the chatas, they would completely sever the head. So yes, before matan dam, there would be a way to distinguish the birds. After the matan dam, when they would completely sever the head of the chatas as well, it's possible to mix up the ola and the chatas. So you have this poor kohen, he thinks he's eating a chatas, he really ate an ola, he made a mistake, because the ola is supposed to be kula kolal, it's supposed to be totally burnt on the mizbeach and goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, you're potter. My kamash malan, what's the chiddush here? Says the Gemara, the Torah b'dvar mitzvah potter, that if a guy makes a mistake while doing a mitzvah, he's going to be potter. That's the halacha that we learn in our Mishnah, that you're not supposed to carry your lulav on Shabbos, but if you do, then you're going to be potter because you make a mistake in the context of doing a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, yeah, that's the halacha that we're trying to learn, but I might think to distinguish from our case. Ma'al detei ma'al samud detei b'dvar mitzvah potter, hainu da'avad mitzvah. The reason that you're potter in our case, it says hasam because we're thinking about it as if we're reading the Gemara over there, but the reason that you're potter in our case is because you actually did the mitzvah. In other words, you were taught b'dvar mitzvah. The mistake that you made was that you carried out the lulav on Shabbos, but you actually performed the mitzvah because you picked up the lulav. Aval hacha, the Torah b'dvar mitzvah, v'lo avad mitzvah, emalo. However, over here, by the case of the Karbanos, where you thought you were eating a chatas, it turns out that you're eating an ola, you didn't actually do a mitzvah, because there is no mitzvah to eat a karban ola. I might think that Torah b'dvar mitzvah is not going to be potter. Kamash malan, that the Torah b'dvar mitzvah is going to be, the kamash malan of the Torah b'dvar mitzvah is going to be potter. Okay. So says the Gemara. So in other words, we don't make a distinction between Tabit Var Mitzvah and you do the mitzvah, and Tabit Var Mitzvah and you actually don't do a mitzvah. So says the Gemara, Meisvei Rav Yossi Omer, Hashochet es HaTamid She'ina Mavukar Kilchaso B'Shabbos. So let's say you shecht a carbon Tamid, which is not Mavukar Kilchaso B'Shabbos. It is not checked in accordance with the halacha, and you shecht that animal on Shabbos. So the carbon tamid has to be checked for 3 days before it shechted. You also obviously can only shecht an animal which is a tam, not an animal which is a bal mum. And we know that you shecht the carbon tamid, tamid shel shachar, tamid shel bein arbayim, on Shabbos. So there is a certain type of animal that you're supposed to use, the type of animal which is checked and it's already been mavukar. You know that it's going to be a tam. So you're supposed to take from that group of animals, but you don't. You just take from an animal which is not checked. It hasn't sat there for 3 days. You don't know whether it's a tam. You don't know whether it's a bal mum. But that's what you use for the carbon tamid. So kilchasu b'shabes chayev chatas v'tzarech tamid acher. It requires chatas and you require another tamid. So you're chayev chatas and you require another tamid. Now, why would you require another tamid? Tosfos says you require another tamid because even if the animal winds up being a tam, it requires bikur dalad yamim. It's the 3 days before plus the day that it's brought. Kodem shchita, the perek mishaya tamay, yalof lamei pesach b'gzeira shava. Because we learn gzeira shava between tamid and karban pesach, just like karban pesach was separated on the 10th and then it was shechted on the 14th. So too, the tamid has to be checked for the 3 days prior to the day of shechita. It's got to be segregated for the 4 days. So you use an animal that was invalid for use as a carbon tamid. What we're focused on is the fact that you're chayiv chatas, because you thought that you were doing a mitzvah by shechting a carbon tamid. Turns out you made a mistake because you took from an animal that you shouldn't have taken from, and now you're going to be chayiv a carbon. It's a tov b'dvar mitzvah. So Amar le bar mino da'ida itmar Allah Amar Shmuel bar Chatoi Amar Rav Amnuna Saba Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Ashiyan Amar Ravuna Amar Rav. A lot of rabbis say Kegon Sheviyah Melishka She'inim Bevukarim, because over here the reason that you're not going to be potter is because you brought it from a lishka She'inim Mavukar. You brought it from a group of animals which is not mavukar at all. And Rashi points out that this is not considered to be tov b'dvar mitzvah because you're not being tarud in something that has any use for a mitzvah. In other words, these are not omed lahakrava that you should even be dealing with them and wondering when you should bring them for a korban. So in other words, tov b'dvar mitzvah is only when you're handling something that is fit to perform a mitzvah with, like the lulav, like the Karban Ola, which is already shechted if it's mixed up with the Chatas. Here, it's not like you're checking from among animals which are eligible and oops, you made a mistake. These animals are not eligible to be brought as a Karban at all. Therefore, it's not considered to be Tav Bidvar Mitzvah. Says Rashi, but what if it's the Zman Tamid and you were worried about the Zman and you were worried about fulfilling the mitzvah while it was still time to perform the mitzvah? So Rashi says, well, this guy is amazed. What the halacha that we learned from our Mishnah is ta bidvar mitzvah, is where you make a mistake. This guy is karv lamezid, because everybody knows the halacha that you need an animal which is mavukar in order to shecht as the karban tam. This guy was almost like a posheya and not like a toa, and therefore this guy is going to be chayev, even though the halacha in our Mishnah may hold true that ta bidvar mitzvah is going to be potter. Okay, so says the next Mishnah, Mekabeles isha miyad bina umiyad baila, that a woman is able to receive the lulav from her husband or from her son, umachziran lamayim b'shabbes, and she could return it back to the water. She could put it in water on Shabbos. And Rashi says, the reason that you would put it in water, first of all, is so that it doesn't wilt. Rashi says that the lulav is not considered to be a midid lochazi, something which has no purpose for something that has no purpose for her. So the woman, even though she's not mechuyevis in the mitzvah, it's not considered to be something which is muktzah for her. The Ran, the Meiri, the Ritva, they all say, obviously we're talking about in the Zman HaMikdash, when they would take the lulav on Shabbos, because if it's a Zman HaMikdash and they're taking the lulav for Shabbos, then the husband and the son who are mechuyev in lulav certainly are able to handle the lulav. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though the woman is not mechuyevus in the mitzvah, because it's a mitzvah to say she has man grama, as long as she receives it from the hand of her son, meaning it was never put down, it is considered to be something which has a use for Shabbos, and it's not considered to be muktzah, something which has no designated use for Shabbos. However, bizman hazeh, you would not be able to handle a lulav, certainly not to put it back in water, but you're not allowed to touch a lulav on Shabbos, because we don't take it on Shabbos, and therefore it has no purpose for Shabbos, therefore it's going to be muktzah. So those Rishonim, the Ran, the Mira, the Ritva, say that's true by a lulav. An esrog, however, would be mutter to handle on Shabbos. Why would you be allowed to handle an esrog on Shabbos? You don't perform the mitzvah of dalamina because you could smell it, so you could use it for sort of besamim, and that's why you're allowed to touch it. But the lulav bizman hazeh, you're not allowed to touch. We're talking bizman hamikdash, where they perform the mitzvah on Shabbos. The woman is allowed to receive it, and she's allowed to return it to the water that she took it from on Shabbos. However, she's not allowed to add water. She's certainly not allowed to switch the water. And on Yontif, it gets more lenient, as we'll see. So Rav Yehuda Amar, back in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Amar b'Shabbos machzirin, that on Shabbos the woman's allowed to receive the lulav from her husband and put it back in the water that she took it out from. B'yomtif mosifin, on Yomtif you're allowed to add to the water. U'v'moed machlifin, and on Chol HaMoed there's an actual mitzvah to switch the water. Why? Because the water gets gross when you put the lulav into it, and when you switch the water, it further aids in ensuring that the lulav doesn't get dried out. So now the Mishnah says a fundamental principle at the end, Kotana Yadeh Lananea, Chayev Belulav. If a katan knows how to do the nanuim, from the age that he knows how to do the nanuim with the lulav, he's chayev in lulav. What does it mean he's chayev in lulav? So this is obviously a chiyev midrabanan, and it's a chiyev on the father to be mechanech his son in the mitzvah of lulav. The Merom Esada says that even though, again, we've saw just before, the halacha is mida'ak be'nafak be, from the second that you pick up the lulav, you're yotze the mitzvah. So why is the criteria for a father having to be mechanech his son in the mitzvah of lulav when it's kotanaya dea lenanea? As soon as you pick it up, you're going to be chayiv. So shouldn't it be a katan who knows how to pick up the lulav is going to be chayiv in the midin chinuch in the mitzvah of lulav? Why is it kotanaya dea lenanea only when you know how to do the nanuim? Because the mitzvah of chinuch is to be mechanech the child to do the mitzvah the way he's going to have to do the mitzvah when he becomes an adult. And therefore, there is no mitzvah of chinuch by lulav until he's of the age where he's capable of performing the mitzvah the same way he would when he's a bar mitzvah. So it's not until he's yodei lananea that there's going to be a chiyuv of chinuch here. Says the Gemara. So, of course, it's Pashut that the woman is allowed to take the lulav on Shabbos. Again, we're talking about a time where they handled lulavim on Shabbos because it was Bizman HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Pshita, it's Pashut. That even though the woman is not going to be is not a bar chiyuv, I might think that therefore she's not allowed to handle the lulav. Kamash malon, that she is allowed to handle the lulav. And Rashi points out that it has a toras kli because it's roi for men to take it, and therefore it's not considered to be something which is muktza, that has no purpose at all on that has no purpose at all on yontif. Okay, so says the Gemara now Vaiter at the two dots. Katana Yadeh Naneya. So Tana Rabbanan, Katana Yadeh Naneya Chaya Belulav. And when a Kata knows that a do the Nanuim, he is going to be Chayav in Lulav. Again, as we said a moment ago, this is a Din Drabanan. He is certainly not Mechayav Midaraisa. This is a Din Drabanan. It's a Chayav on the father to be Mechanech his son in the performance of the mitzvah of lulav. The Briska Rav brings a raya from here, and this is similar to what we just said in the name of the Merome Sada. The Briska Rav brings a raya from here that there is no mitzvah of chinuch until the child knows that it performed the mitzvah min hamovchar. Why? Because the basic mitzvah again has been the agbe nafak bay. But what we just said in the Gemara is that you're only chayev in the mitzvah of chinuch by lulav to do it when the katan knows that it'll shake the lulav. Shaking the lulav is only a mitzvah min hamovchar. But again, the Briska Rav brings a raya from here that you're not chayev in the mitzvah of chinuch until the kid is able to perform the mitzvah in a way that's min hamovchar. Right, so from the time that the child is old enough to know how to shake the lulav, he's chayev midin chinuch in the mitzvah of lulav. L'isatev chayev tzitzis. When he knows how to be misatev, he's chayev in the mitzvah of tzitzis. L'shmar tfilav, when he is able to guard his tefillin, meaning he's going to keep them in a way that's bakavadik, and he knows what bodily functions he is allowed to do and not allowed to do with the tefillin, and he knows how to protect them and not to destroy them. Aviv lokeach lo tefillin. His father buys him tefillin. Why the change? How come by lulav it just says chayev lulav chayev betzitzis now lokeach lo tefillin? So Tosfos points out, well, it's obvious because tefillin is much more expensive, and that's why by tefillin it says lokeach. It says because you have to actually go out and buy them because they're very expensive. Unlike by lulav, where even if a lulav an esrog set might be expensive, remember the child could perform the mitzvah with the lulav of his father as long as he gives it to him, and the child has das matan almanas lahachzer to give it back for the first day, whatever. But you don't need to buy a separate lulav for your kid. Also tzitzis, it's not like where it's special beged shel dalek konfes that has tzitzis on it. So they would just put tzitzis on their clothing. So in the stomach, the kid had clothing. It's easy to put tzitzis on, but by tefillin, which is expensive. That's why we say lokeach lo tefillin. Yadeh ledaber, as soon as he knows how to speak, aviv lomdo Torah, the father has to teach him Torah, v'kriyashma. Torah ma'i, what's the Torah that the father has to teach him as soon as he knows how to speak? Samar avamnuna, Torah tzivil and emosha, marosha kilas Yaakov, that pasla. Kriyashma ma'i, and what does it mean, kriyashma? How much of kriyashma does the guy have to say already? Does the kid have to say? It's three parshias of kriyashma, it's a lot. So pasuk rishon, it means that as soon as he knows the pasuk rishon, the father has to teach him how to perform the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema and say Kriyat Shema every day. Hayadeh lishmar gufo, ochlen al gufo taharos. If the child knows how to keep himself tahar, then we are allowed to eat taharos that the child touched, because we know that the child is okay, the child is tahar, and therefore the taharos that the child touched were not made tameh. Lishmar is yadav, ochlen al yadav taharos. If he knows how to guard his hands from tama, then we're allowed to eat taharos even that the kid touched with his hands. If a child is of the age where he knows how to answer the question truthfully, in other words, if you ask him, did you touch this thing which is tamei, he'll say yes or no, and he'll be answering truthfully. So if he's a bar das to that level, then b'rshusa yachid sveiko tamei, b'rshusa rabim sveiko tar. Then the halachos of tuma and tara by this kid are the same halachos that apply by adults. Safek tuma b'rshusa yachid is going to be tamei, and safek tuma b'rshusa rabim is going to be tar. Hayadeh lifros kapav, if a child knows how to duchen, cholken lo truma b'beis agronos, you could be mechalek truma to him b'beis agronos. In other words, even in the granary, you're allowed to give him truma. Rashi points out that before he reaches that age, you're not allowed to give him truma in the granary, but you have to send it to his house. so long as he knows how to keep the truma pitahara, because it's a bezoyon that you're going to give this katan truma in the granary in front of everybody else. Now, how old is this kid who knows how to duchen? So Tosfa says that it's apparent that the kid is already bar mitzvah. So how could it be that the kid's bar mitzvah? We see the minig in most places is that kohanim, even when they're younger than the bar mitzvah, they duchen. Although the minhagim vary, it happens to be I didn't duchen until I was bar mitzvah. But there are people who have the minig that their children who are katanim also duchen. So what is it? So there's a long Tosfos here that goes on to Amud Beis. Tosfos says, well, it depends. So first of all, it depends on who else is there, and it depends on the type of day. So he said, if it's talking about where nobody else is there, then the katan has to be bar mitzvah. You're not going to have a 9-year-old be the only kohen who's duchening. However, if there are other kohanim there, then yes, then you can give the katan to duchen, even though he's younger than bar mitzvah. And we have to be talking about somebody who is younger than bar mitzvah, because what does the Gemara call him? It calls him a katan who knows that it, so once he's a gadol, once he's a bar mitzvah, he's no longer a katan. So it depends if there's somebody else there, says Tosfos. It also depends on what type of day it is. So in other words, Tosfos gives us an example that even though a regular bar mitzvah is fit to be a shliach tzibur, so we know on Yom Kippur and on Tanya Samamados, there's a halacha that the shliach tzibur is supposed to be somebody who is memale zikno. So it's either it means that he actually has to have a beard or that he could grow a beard. So what is it? I thought that the kid who is bar mitzvahed, can lead the tzibur in davening. Most bar mitzvah boys don't have a full beard. So says Tosfos, no, well, because it depends. On a regular day, the bar mitzvah boy can lead the tzibur. On Yom Kippur, you're not going to have a bar mitzvah boy leading the tzibur. But back to the duchening again, back to this idea of chinuch, that when the katan knows how to duchen, he's old enough that you could give him truma in the Beis HaGronos. Now flipping to Mem Beis Amud Beis, Hedea Lishchot Ochlim Mishchita. So if the child knows how to perform shchita, then you're allowed to trust him. You're allowed to eat from a shchita. Amravuna Vusha Gadol Omed Al Gabav. That's only if the Gadol is Omed Al Gabav. That's only if there's a Gadol standing on top of him, standing over him to make sure that he didn't either pause or press in the shchita. You have to do the shchita in a smooth motion to make sure that the katan did the shchita properly. Tosfos is medayik that if the katan doesn't know how to hold his hand steady, then we're not going to trust him, even if there was a gadol who said, oh, this time he held his hand steady. No, it's got to be a katan who's an expert in shchita. In that case, we're allowed to eat from whatever he shachts. Yachal echal kazayis dagan, if he knows that eat a kazayis dagan, then marchikim etzawaso mimim miraglav. Then we have to distance from his soa, from his excrement, and from his miraglayim, dalet amas, because at that point it already smells, because he's like a big boy. So the mefarshim are medayik, it doesn't actually mean that he ate a kazayis dagan. He doesn't have to eat a kazayis dagan in order for you to have to be marchik metzoso mimimim raglav. When he is of the stage of development where he can eat a kazayis dagan, then he's already a big boy. You have to stay away for amas from his tzoa. So says Rav Chista, I'm Rav Chista, Vushi Yachal Ochlo Bechtei Achilas Pras. That's when he knows that he has his dagan in about 9 minutes, let's say it is. So I'm Rav Chia Bereid Rav Yeva, V'godol Afal Pisheni Yachal Ochlo Bechtei Achilas Pras. If he's a real adult, even if he's a slow eater, there are some adults who are very slow eaters, but still, even if he doesn't eat Kazayas and Kadei Achilas Pras, he still has to be Marchik from his excrement, obviously. The Yosef Das, Yosef Machov. The more smart he gets, in other words, the older he gets and the more experienced he gets, the more the machov means that his tzoa smells, says Rashi. Okay, great. So yachol lechol kazayis tzli, if the katan knows how to eat a kazayis of roasted meat, then shochtan alavas a pesach, then he's allowed to be included in the chabura for the karban pesach. Shanemar ish lefi yachlo, because one has to be able to eat the kazayis in order to be included in the chabura. So Rav Yudom Rashi yachol levarer achila, until he knows what he should be eating. At that stage, he's able to be included in the chabura for the Karban Pesach. What does it mean that he's mevarer achila? Ketzad nosen lo tzor v'zarko egos v'notho, that he knows the difference between a pebble and an amen. So he knows the difference between what's food and what is not food. Hadron alach lulav hagazel. And now we begin the fourth perek of the Masechta. Says the Mishnah, lulav v'arava. Lulav and arava Shisha Veshiva. Sometimes they are performed 6 days over the course of Yontif. Sometimes they are performed 7 days over the course of Yontif. The Gemara is going to explain how Yontif, how the calendar has to fall out in order to be Mekayim these mitzvahs 6 times, in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah 7 times. Obviously, this has to do with Shabbos and when Shabbos falls out. And it'll be, I mean, there's a Lebedek Sogi tomorrow about Hoshana Rabbah, but it'll be that if the first day falls out on Shabbos, again, only in Zman HaMikdash, you would be Doche Shabbos and take the Lulav. So if the first day coincides with Shabbos, you would take the Lulav for 7 days. If Shabbos falls out on any of the other days of Yontif, you'd only be taking the Lulav 6 days, because you wouldn't take it on Shabbos. Hallel Vasimcha, Hallel and Simcha. So saying full Hallel and Simcha is eating of Basar Shlamim, because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi points out from the Gemara Maseches Psachim that Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar, because it says V'Zavachta Shlamim V'Yachalta Sham V'Samachta. And even though that pasuk is not written by the Regalim, still by the Regalim, it also says Simcha. So the Gemara there is Medayik that Simcha means Basar. So Halal V'Simcha Shmona, that's for all 8 days of Yontif, because you're allowed to have meat even if it's Shabbos. So meat is Docha Shabbos. So Sukkah V'Nisa Chamayim Shiva. Sukkah Nisa Chamayim is only for 7 days. You don't do it on Shmini Atzeres, obviously. HaChalil, which is what they would play by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Chamisha Vishisha. It's either 5 days or 6 days, because they would start the Simchas Beis HaShoeva on the second night of Yontif. So it would depend when Shabbos falls out. If Shabbos fell out the first day, then you would have Simchas Beis HaShoeva the other 6 days of Yontif. If Shabbos falls out one day during Chol HaMoed, then you wouldn't have Simchas Beis HaShoeva on Shabbos with the Chalil. Lulav Sheva Ketzad. How is it, when is it that you perform the mitzvah of Lulav for 7 days? So Yontif Rishon Shel Chag Shechalias B'Shabbos. If the first day of Yontif falls out on Shabbos, Lulav Sheva. Then Lulav is Docha Shabbos. Again, only Zman HaMikdash. Therefore, you take it for 7 days. B'Shar Kol HaYomim Shisha. However, if any of the other days of Yontif fall out on Shabbos, then it would not be Docha Shabbos. It would turn out that year you would only take the Lulav for 6 days. Arava Sheva Ketzad. How is it possible? When is it? Under what circumstances are you performing the mitzvah of Arava for 7 days? So Yom HaShvi'i Shel Arava, Hoshana Rabbah, Shechalios B'Shabbos, which falls out on Shabbos, Arava Sheva, then the Arava is Docha Shabbos. We're going to talk a lot tomorrow in the Gemara. What is Arava that we're talking about here, but we'll save that for tomorrow. B'Shar Kol HaYomim Shisha. If Hoshana Rabbah, if Shabbos falls out on any day besides Hoshana Rabbah, then it's not going to be Docha Shabbos, and therefore it turns out that you're only going to perform the mitzvah of Rabbah for 6 days. Mitzvahs Lulav Ketzad. How do you perform the mitzvah of Lulav? Now, although the Rashal is mochik the word B'Shabbos, we're obviously talking about Shabbos. So how do you perform the mitzvah of Lulav on Shabbos? Yom Tov Arishon Shel Chag Shechalios B'Shabbos. So you have first day of Yom Tov, which falls out on Shabbos. Malichinus Lulavayim Laharabayis. They would bring their Lulavim to Harabayis before Shabbos. The Chazanim Mekabla Mehem, and the Chazanim, the Gabon, or the Shamashim would accept the Lulavim from the people. V'sodron Rosal Gabia Itzava. And they would leave it on the Itzava, on the platform that was there. V'azkenim Anichinus Shalahem Belishka. However, the Zakenim, who didn't want to fight with everybody, as we'll see, there was a big scramble. They would have like their own cubby, or they would put it in the coat room and they would put it away safely. And they would train everybody to say, so they would train everybody to say that no matter who gets my lulav, I'm going to give it to him b'matana. Why? Because there was such a scrum of people, there was such a scramble there, that nobody could be guaranteed that they would actually take the lulav that they brought before Shabbos. Now, on the first day, you can only be mekayim the mitzvah with the lulav, which is mishelachem, which is yours. So they would say, whoever gets my lulav, it's given to him b'matana. L'malchar mashkim inabayim. Next day, they would all come to shul. The chazanim zorkin osan lefneim. The chazanim would throw the lulavim in front of the people. Vein mechatfin umakinishes chavero. They would grab and they would hit each other with the lulavim. It got to be a big balagan. Chashuro basin shaboli de sakana. When the basin saw that it was maybe not a good idea to have everybody scrambling and, you know, smiting each other with lulavim, so eskinushi kol echad vechad notu v'beisa. They said, you know what? You're not allowed to carry the lulav outside on Shabbos, but better than having the scramble in shul and turning it into a big balagan, we'll have everybody take lulav in his house on Shabbos instead of bringing it to shul. All right, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up with the Gemara tomorrow, God willing. Hope everybody has a great day.